Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome again to the San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium presented by UT Health San Antonio Cancer Center, the American Association for Cancer Research, and Baylor College of Medicine. I'm Rachel Salas-Silverman, Director of Public Relations for the AACR. This afternoon, we'll have two presentations with the opportunity to ask each presenter questions following their presentation. There is a center microphone here, and if you are on the phone, press star 1 on your keypad. Please remember to silence your cell phones and use the microphone when going to ask a question. And now, once again, it's my pleasure to introduce you to Dr. Carlos Arteaga. Dr. Arteaga is co-director of SABCS. He's also past president of the AACR and director of the Harold C. Simmons Comprehensive Cancer Center at UT Health, UT Southwestern Medical Center. Dr. Arteaga.
Thank you, Rachel, and hello again. This is part two of day one press release. The first speaker is Dr. Laura Spring. She's a medical oncologist at Massachusetts General Hospital Cancer Center and instructor at Harvard Medical School. The title of her presentation is Pathological Complete Response After Neoadjuvant Chemotherapy, an Impact on Breast Cancer Recurrence and Mortality, Stratified by Breast Cancer Subtypes, and Adjuvant Chemotherapy Usage, Individual Patient-Level Meta-Analysis of Over 27,000 Patients. Dr. Sprung.
Thank you, Dr. Arteaga, for the opportunity to present our research. No authors declared any relevant conflicts of interest. Other disclosures are listed here. Specifically, I've reported advisory board fees from Novartis and research funding from an institution from Cesaro. The focus of many breast cancer trials for several years has been on adding additional systemic therapies to reduce recurrence risk. However, adding therapies can result in additional toxicity and overtreatment for many patients. The neoadjuvant chemotherapy model offers several additional clinical and research advantages over adjuvant chemotherapy, including the rapid evaluation of treatment response utilizing surrogate biomarkers such as pathological complete response. The FDA recognizes PCR as a potential surrogate endpoint to support the accelerated approval of anti-cancer therapies. While the prognostic significance of PCR after neoadjuvant chemotherapy is relatively well established, the impact of adjuvant therapy in modulating the relationship between PCR and long-term outcomes is less clear. Furthermore, the relationship between the magnitude of PCR change and the corresponding change in long-term clinical outcomes has not been well established. The objectives of our study were to conduct a comprehensive meta-analysis of studies on neoadjuvant chemotherapy for localized breast cancer using recapitulated patient-level data to evaluate the association between PCR and clinical outcomes by breast cancer subtype, the impact of adjuvant chemotherapy on the association between PCR and clinical outcomes, and the magnitude of change in PCR and the corresponding change in clinical outcomes. Based on PRISMA guidelines, a library-led search of PubMed from inception until September 2016 was performed to identify studies. Inclusion criteria were published studies of localized breast cancer with 25 patients or more featuring neoadjuvant chemotherapy that reported PCR results, as well as recurrence and or survival based on pathologic outcome. Exclusion criteria included studies reporting local recurrence only, as well as studies featuring neoadjuvant endocrine therapy or neoadjuvant radiation. The relevant data was extracted by two independent reviewers. Individual patient-level data was extracted from each study for analysis using the plot digitizer software, DigitizeIt, via previously described methods. A variety of endpoints were used among the manuscripts to describe recurrence, and these endpoints were treated as equivalent for the aggregate analyses, with event-free survival used as a representative term. Hazard ratios with 95% probability intervals measuring the association between PCR and overall survival or event-free survival were estimated using Bayesian piecewise exponential proportional hazards hierarchical models with PCR as a predictor. A random effects model was utilized to account for between-study variability. From the random effects model, we estimated a posterior distribution from which Kaplan-Meier curves were derived. We also explored the relationship between the magnitude of treatment effects on PCR associated with increases in PCR based on methods described by Berry and Huddis. Now moving on to results. The PubMed search resulted in 3,209 publications. 52 studies ultimately met criteria with 27,895 total patients. This figure represents the forest plot of all the studies looking at the association between PCR and event-free survival. Patients who had PCR, compared to those with residual disease, had significantly better EFS with a hazard ratio of 0.31. Similarly, this figure depicts the forest plot of all the studies looking at the association between PCR and overall survival. Patients who had PCR, compared to those with residual disease, had significantly better overall survival with a hazard ratio of 0.22. These figures represent the Kaplan-Meier estimates for event-free survival and overall survival based on the included studies. The dark blue line represents the PCR group, and the dark orange line represents the residual disease group, with the shaded regions around each line representing the 95% probability intervals. In the overall group, the five-year EFS for PCR versus residual disease was 88% versus 67%, and for overall survival was 94% versus 75%. In considering the clinical breast cancer subtypes, for triple-negative breast cancer, the five-year EFS for PCR versus residual disease was 90% versus 57%, for HER2-positive disease was 86% versus 63%, and for hormone receptor-positive, HER2-negative disease was 97% versus 88%. Similar results were seen for overall survival. We next looked at the role of adjuvant chemotherapy. The figure on the left represents the Kaplan-Meier estimates for event-free survival based on whether or not adjuvant chemotherapy was received following PCR. The dark blue line represents the PCR group that did not receive adjuvant chemotherapy, and the dark orange line represents the PCR group that did receive adjuvant chemotherapy, with the shaded regions around each line representing the 95% probability intervals. The five-year EFS for the PCR with adjuvant chemotherapy group was 86%, and it was 88% for the PCR group without adjuvant chemotherapy. PCR was associated with significantly improved event-free survival in both groups, and there was no significant difference in the hazard ratio between the two groups. And finally, we looked at the relationship between the change in PCR and the corresponding change in event-free survival, as this approach could be helpful in the design of new adjuvant studies. In the figure on the left, the solid line represents the estimated EFS hazard ratio for the given incremental change in PCR in the treatment arm, and the gray region represents the 95% point-wise probability interval for each incremental change. Assuming PCR is a valid surrogate endpoint, that is, it mediates all treatment effects, and that the average PCR is 50%, the magnitude of PCR change is predictive of treatment effects on EFS within a certain amount of uncertainty based on the model. The chart on the right depicts the numerical relationship between the magnitude of treatment effects on EFS and PCR. For example, a delta PCR of 0.3 would correspond to an EFS hazard ratio of 0.72 based on the model assumptions. Strengths of the study include its large size, the inclusion of patients from across the globe, and the inclusion of both trial and retrospective results, representing a more realistic experience and providing external validity. Additionally, results were highly significant despite the inclusion of a variety of new adjuvant regimens, suggesting the path taken to attain a PCR may not be critical. Limitations of the study include variability in the study populations and new adjuvant regimens received, variability in study-specific outcome definitions, variability in the definition of hormone receptor positivity, and the inability to assess other surrogate endpoints such as the residual cancer burden index. In conclusion, achieving PCR following new adjuvant chemotherapy is associated with significantly improved event-free survival and overall survival, particularly for triple-negative and HER2-positive breast cancer. The similar outcomes with or without adjuvant chemotherapy in patients who attain PCR after new adjuvant chemotherapy likely reflects tumor biology and suggests adjuvant chemotherapy could potentially be omitted in certain circumstances. Further research is needed to evaluate the clinical utility of escalation and de-escalation strategies in the adjuvant setting based on new adjuvant response. Thank you.
Questions?
Could you be more specific about in which patients or situations that adjuvant chemotherapy could potentially be omitted? Are you looking maybe perhaps at the HER2-positive patients or?
Yeah, so this was a meta-analysis of 52 studies that included all breast cancer subtypes. So certainly there were HER2-positive patients involved in that analysis. And, you know, it's difficult to compare the characteristics of the two populations because it wasn't in itself a randomized clinical trial. So the subset of studies included in the adjuvant chemotherapy yes group was different than the subset of studies included in the no adjuvant chemotherapy group.
But it's an important question that physicians will have to ask themselves and their patients, I mean, do you want to undergo adjuvant chemotherapy or not? Well, guess who's ever going to say, well, I want to undergo adjuvant chemotherapy? They're all going to do this.
It's important to note that all of these patients received preoperative chemotherapy, and this particularly was looking at the group that had an excellent response,
yeah.
had a pathologic complete response. So in general, and in the majority of trials or and studies included, you know, we tend to give all of the cytotoxic chemotherapy prior to surgery. There are some studies that have explored a so-called sandwich approach where you get some of the cytotoxic chemotherapy before and some after. So this is suggesting that, if, say, you had an abbreviated course of chemotherapy before and you had an excellent outcome, that adding more chemotherapy after wasn't helpful in that group.
Do you have a sense of how many patients, in general, do achieve a piece of a complete response, pathological complete response? Is it unusual? Is it common? Is it...
So we looked, you know, we have that data from all 52 studies. So in the studies that we included, so all 52, the overall PAPCR rate was 21.1%. But that varied greatly depending on the tumor subtypes involved. Mm-hmm. So, for example, our HER2-positive, the cohort of HER2-positive and the cohort of triple-negative patients, the overall PAPCR rate was more in the mid-30s, while for hormone receptor-positive HER2-negative breast cancer, it was under 10%, as we often see.
So therein lies maybe where physicians should start dividing who out of the PCRs who should maybe go get adjuvant chemotherapy and those who should not. If there people are less likely to get a PCR, then there's no point even bringing this up in the discussion. Right?
Well, but I think this highlights the importance of escalation and de-escalation strategies. So, for example, just this morning we saw the results of the Catherine trial that looked at a group of patients who all had their pre-op cytotoxic chemotherapy plus anti-HER2 agents, and then it was really a post-neoadjuvant adjuvant study in which they took the patients who had residual disease and looked at T-DM1, and we showed, you know, that was very impressive results. So I think we support strategies like that.
Okay.
Next question.
Heidinger from Germany. Do you have any data for the triple positive patients?
So we didn't show it here, but in a subset of the studies, they do in fact break down the HER2 positive patients by hormone receptor positive or not. So we have done some sensitivity analyses looking at that group. And as consistent with prior studies, the PAPCR rates are higher if you're HER2 positive, hormone receptor negative compared to being triple positive.
Mm-hmm.
There has been some larger studies focused, you know, entirely on HER2.
But do you know if they had a PCR, did they do as well as the others?
We don't have that direct analysis done.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Okay, so it's interesting that I like the analysis that in with patients that got adjuvant chemotherapy versus not, it didn't matter. So basically, it appears that the impact of chemotherapy is going to be early.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you use it early, you really don't lose the impact if you wait until after surgery.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was me, I would have it done before the operation, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
So because at a minimum, it's not worse than delaying it for after surgery, at a minimum.
And I agree, and I think the support strategies where you maybe use less cytotoxic chemotherapy and try to identify that group which will have a PCR with a de-escalation strategy, and then you can spare them, hopefully, additional cytotoxic chemotherapy.
And you get the benefit of potential breast conservation
and
laser surgery. So. Okay, well, thank you very much. So the next presentation is by Dr. Zaida Morante. Dr. Morante is a medical oncologist at the Instituto Nacional de Enfermedades Neoplásicas, the NCI, of Lima, Peru. The title of her paper is Impact of Delayed Initiation of Adjuvant Chemotherapy in the Outcomes of Triple-Negative Breast Cancer. Dr. Morante.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity to present our work. I have nothing to disclose. According to the latest DevCon report, there will be almost 2.1 million newly diagnosed cases of female breast cancer, and triple negative represents between 7 and 15 breast cancer diagnosed cases, and the mortality rate is approximately 30% at 5 years. Gagliato et al. In 2014 evaluated the relationship between delaying initiation of adjuvant chemotherapy and survival outcomes. Chavez McGregor et al. In 2016 also identified the determinants in delaying chemotherapy initiation. Both papers concluded that a longer time to chemotherapy caused patients with triple-negative breast cancer to have worse overall survival. We evaluated the influence of time to adjuvant chemotherapy on the survival on triple-negative breast cancer patients diagnosed at the Instituto Nacional de Enfermedades Neoplásticas in Lima between 2000 to 2014. We included stage 1 to 3 patients, ER-negative, PR-negative, HER2-negative tumors diagnosed and treated at the end, who underwent surgery as first-line treatment and complete adjuvant chemotherapy. Time to chemotherapy was defined as the number of days between surgery and the first dose of chemotherapy. And patients were categorized in 4 groups. Less than 30 days, between 31 and 60 days, between 61 and 90 days, and more than 91 days. Characteristics of participants according to time to chemotherapy were compared using T-squared test or ANOVA, and logistic regression models were constructed to assess factors associated with delay in chemotherapy administration. And these are our results. A total of 687 patients were included. Median follow-up was 8.5 years. As general characteristics, just 10% of our patients were stage 1 and 89% of our patients were stage 2 and 3. And we found a statistical association between age period of time for initiation chemotherapy, type of surgery, and the type of adjuvant chemotherapy with the time to chemotherapy. This is the distribution of our patients according to time to chemotherapy. And 48% of our patients received treatment between 31 and 60 days, and only 27% of our patients received chemotherapy within 30 days from surgery. As we can see here, the survival analysis according to time to chemotherapy demonstrates that patients who received chemotherapy within 30 days after surgery have 10 years overall survival of 82%, in contrast to those who receive it between 31 and 60 days after surgery. The difference was consistent across the different periods of evaluation. Additionally, the benefit of receiving chemotherapy within 30 days exists and is statistically significant for N0 and N1. And in patients with N2 and N3 patients, although there is a clear difference in numbers, but didn't reach statistical significance. The difference was also evident in disease-free survival analysis, where patients who received chemotherapy within 30 days after surgery was 81%, and those receiving it after 30 days was 68%. This outcome has even more value when subset analysis is performed. The difference between patients who received it before 30 days was 80%, and those receiving it after 30 days was 64%. In this slide, we can see that the time of adjuvant chemotherapy is an independent prognostic factor for overall survival. When chemotherapy was initiated between 31 and 60 days after surgery, risk of death increased to 1.9-fold. And when chemotherapy was given between 61 and 90 days after surgery, the risk increased 2.4 times. In conclusion, in triple-negative breast cancer patients, our results show that greater the delay in initiating adjuvant chemotherapy, the worse the outcome. Delay initiation of adjuvant chemotherapy over 30 days is associated with decreased DPS, DRFS, and OS rates. The difference of 10-year overall survival between receiving chemotherapy within 30 days after surgery and 30 days was more than 10%. These results represent a feasible opportunity for improving outcomes from triple-negative breast cancer patients. And finally, we encourage researchers from around the globe to replicate our study to confirm our results. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Questions from the audience, please.
Hi, Caroline Helwig, ASCO Post. What percentage of patients were delayed more than 30 days? Maybe you said that. I don't.
84%.
84%?
Just 27% of our patients received the treatment before 30 days.
Only 27%.
Yes.
In the United States, maybe Dr. Arteaga, what would that be like?
Adjuvant?
Yeah, how soon do patients get adjuvant in the United States?
We usually wait 4 to 6 weeks. The patient has to recover from surgery.
Wow. So this would apply then maybe to your patients here. The majority would be beyond 30 days.
It could, yeah, but there's an impossibility of giving chemotherapy that can be toxic to somebody who has a wound, who may be recovering from an operation. But in general, you know, it's within the 4 to 5 weeks.
So what is your suggestion, considering they have to heal from surgery? I mean, what do we do with these results?
When I evaluate the before results, the previous results of this kind of treatment, we noticed that the patients that they treat here were stage 1, just, and we have a lot of patients stage 3 and 2. And that is important for us, and because of that, they can wait more time to give the chemotherapy than we.
I think with current patterns, most patients will fall within the 30 days and under in this country.
Oh, okay. I misunderstood. I thought you said most patients didn't get surgery in 30 days. But you said
No. This
most
is
two.
Okay. Adjuvant, right?
I mean, get adjuvant
yes.
within 30
adjuvant,
days.
Adjuvant. So they need to have surgery first.
Right, right.
To get to adjuvant, you need to have an operation.
Right.
So usually patients wait around 4 weeks, give or take a few days, you know, roughly, to start treatment with adjuvant chemotherapy.
Okay.
And the reason is it's not considered a delay. It's just that they need, generally they need to recover from an operation.
Okay.
And so I think that I would say that the majority of these patients, if not all, will fall under less than a month of post-surgery, you know, that gap between surgery and initiation of treatment.
Okay.
I wonder whether this is also arguing in favor of the use of neoadjuvant, right? Because the systemic therapy, the adjuvant therapy, is not treating the breast in this case. It's treating that tumor is gone. It's
right.
Operated.
Right.
You're treating the systemic disease.
Right.
I wonder whether this is arguing further in line with the prior presentation that we need to have an impetus to deliver the systemic therapy as soon as we can, early, even before the operation.
Thank you.
More questions? Do you have the tumor material from these patients? So we had one of the presentations this morning, you know, generated a discussion about the heterogeneity of triple negative breast cancer. So I assume that despite the fact that this is for a heterogeneous group of patients, do you have the tumor blocks, the biopsies of these patients, so they can be studied and see whether there are other factors that may play into their outcome?
No. Yes, we have the majority of our tumors.
So this will be a very rich resource to some research there. Okay. No more? Go ahead. All right. Sounds as if everybody wants to go to lunch or something. Okay.
On that note, we'll conclude our press conference for today. Tomorrow, we're back here at 7:30. There'll be four presentations. See you then.